We're going to be in John chapter 21 today. I want to read verses 1 through 3 for you. If you want to look at that with me for a few moments. I want to share with you a message this morning that I call Old Habits Die Hard. Old Habits Die Hard. In John chapter 21, let's read what we find here. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "Well, we'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. Father, this is your word. I ask your blessing on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever tried something new in your life? Come on, we all have, right? We've all tried something new at some point, maybe many times over and over again. A new school, a new job, a new career, moving to a new town or a new city, marriage, parenting for the very first time. Oh, and there's one that'll scare you to death. Grandparenting, we're not there yet, but it's coming one of these days, I'm sure. So that'll be something new, right? Some new things in life are fairly easy to adjust to, but others, not so much. To understand the full picture of what's going on here, we need to go back in time a little bit, about 3 years or so. About 3 years prior to this, Peter is with his other partners in their fishing business, and it says that they've been fishing all night, and that they're now up on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and they're washing their nets so that the nets will be ready, and everything, they'll have everything ready to go back out later that night when they go to fish. A man named Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He's preaching and he's teaching, and the crowd gets so large, the scripture tells us, that they're pressing in so tightly against Jesus. As he's walking along the shore, Jesus sees these two fishing boats, and they're empty. Nobody's in them. So Jesus stepped into one of the boats, and he called Peter from the shore and said, "Can someone come help me? Come in the boat with me and let's push it out a little ways from the shore." Jesus was trying to give himself room to where the crowd wasn't pressing in on him so closely. So Peter climbs in his fishing boat with Jesus that day, and he kind of pushes out a little bit from the shore where they're sitting out in the water, and Jesus preaches his sermon, and when he's finished, he looks at Peter and says, "Now, take us a little farther out into the deeper water and cast your net out." Peter's been washing his net, right? He kind of looks at Jesus and says, "Been a long night. We fished all night long, didn't catch anything. I'm kind of getting ready for tonight when we go back out, but if you tell me to do this, we're going to try it." So reluctantly, Peter pushes out, and he gets out farther in the deeper water, and he takes that net, and he casts it out away from the boat, and all of a sudden, that net is so full of so many fish that he can't pull the net in. So many fish, he calls for help. So his friends and partners there on the shore jump in their boat really quickly, and they come out and they meet up with Peter and Jesus. And between the two boats, they pull the net up into the boats the best they can. And it says the weight of the fish were so much that it almost sunk the two boats together. They finally make their way back to shore. They get out of the boats, they get the fish out, and it says Peter falls on his knees in front of Jesus and says, "Depart from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man." that not seem a little odd to anyone else besides me? He's been in the boat with Jesus. I don't know what Jesus preached. I don't know what his sermon was that day. But obviously Peter's been on the boat. He's kind of a captive audience. He's heard what Jesus said because he's sitting in the boat. Then they go out and catch fish. And all of a sudden, because of all these fish they catch, he falls on his knees before Jesus and says, "Depart from me, Lord, because I'm sinful. I'm not worthy to be in your presence." Jesus said, "If you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. I will make you a fisher of people instead of fish." And in Luke chapter 5, verse 11, it says this: as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. That was day one. Day one of Peter's new experiment in life. The new thing that Jesus had brought to him, this new thing that Peter was supposed to do, and it's completely foreign to him. Yet it says Peter, and not just Peter, but it says they. So the other disciples who were there and witnessed this too, they left everything and they began to follow Jesus. They've ministered with him. They've traveled the countryside with him. They've seen miracles. They've witnessed all these kinds of things. And now, fast forward 3 years, roughly to where we are now in John chapter 21. Jesus has resurrected. This is now the third time that Jesus has appeared to the group of disciples since his resurrection. And I'm sure there's still some confusion. I'm sure there's still some misunderstanding. And in this time, one day Peter and the other disciples are sitting around, and Peter says, just kind of out of the blue, I mean, there's no indication that he really thought about this too much, said, "I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." So that got me to thinking about something. After 3 years, after everything he's been through with Jesus, he and the other disciples have been through with Jesus, all of a sudden, he just has this idea in his mind, says, "I'm going fishing." I want to share some of the thoughts that I feel like God gave me regarding this whole situation and why I called it old habits. Old habits die hard. We need to understand something before we go any further. John's gospel is written in a way that has at least two layers, two levels of meaning to it as we go through. So we're going to look at both of those levels. There's going to be a surface level and then a spiritual level that we're going to look at. But we need to ask ourselves the question: what is the significance of Peter all of a sudden saying, "I'm going to go fishing"? So the surface level, let's think about it for a moment. Peter following Jesus was definitely one of these new things in his life. It was challenging. It was uncertain. And I'm sure in a lot of ways this was an uncomfortable decision for Peter in his life, because it's taking him away from everything that he's ever known. Following Jesus was a sacrifice. It says they left everything. Now, fishing is what they did for a living. It wasn't just a recreational thing. It's what they did for a living. And it says once they got back to the shore that day, 3 years prior to this, they left everything and just started following Jesus. So there are some ideas here about this whole surface level, the surface level of what it means when Peter says this. Maybe Peter just wanted some downtime. Maybe this whole situation with Jesus' resurrection and everything just had him so stressed out and trying to figure things out and trying to understand. Maybe he just needed some time away. Maybe he was just bored, waiting around for whatever Jesus was going to do next. Maybe it was just a really nice day. He hadn't been fishing for a while. And so this is kind of one of the viewpoints from one of the commentaries that I read on this was simply there's nothing real nefarious going on here. It's just Peter deciding, I'm going to go fishing. No, I'm not saying that's a wrong idea. I think it has some merit. But I think there's more to it than that. What this tells me is that when Peter says, I'm going fishing, he's made a conscious decision to go back to what he knew before, to go back to what he was comfortable with, to go back to doing what he was used to. Nobody had to tell him how to fish. I mean, they weren't always real good at it. I mean, there are a lot of times in Scripture where it says they fished all night, didn't catch anything. So I don't know what kind of living he made, but he's going back to what he knew, what he was familiar with. So let's think about that from our perspective for a moment. What happens when we try something new and it doesn't work out the way we thought it was going to? What happens when we try something new and it doesn't work out the way we expected or hoped that it would? What happens when we try something new because someone told us, okay, if you'll come here and do this, this is how it's going to work. And it doesn't work out the way people told us that it would. Just shy, I mean just like a couple weeks, May of 2000, just almost 23 years ago, we loaded up our U-Haul trucks. We were living in Olathe, Kansas. I had a really good job at the Johnson County Sheriff's Office. Full-time job, full benefits. Blunda had a really good job she was working as a registered nurse in one of the large hospitals in the Kansas City area, doing a job that she just really enjoyed. We loaded our two young kids up in that U-Haul truck, and we headed to our very first ministry assignment. Now, those of you who were there yesterday, remember Tim Gates in the middle of his sermon, and he's like, oh, wait a minute. Are we on the internet? You got to be careful what you say now with Facebook and everything, because you never know who's watching or listening. We were following our calling. We were doing what God had called us to do, and we were going to this new assignment. We were starting something new, and we had kind of been told, well, this is how we know you've never been in ministry before. We're going to do this and this and this for you. We're going to help you do this and this. And I got there, and it was like, throw him to the wolves and let him hit the ground running. Now listen, I want you to understand something. We made some very, very good relationships there. We had some good experiences there. We are still good friends with some of those people. We've gone back to do weddings for former members of our youth group. We've done all kinds of stuff. But the overall experience was not a good one. It wasn't a positive one. As a matter of fact, that first ministry assignment made me question whether this is what I really wanted to do with the rest of my life at all. And you want to know what the kicker was? Here's the kicker. The Johnson County Sheriff's Office had a policy. If you left the Sheriff's Department in good standing to go to another job, another department, out of state, whatever. But if you left the Sheriff's Department and you were an employee in good standing when you left, you had up to 12 months. All I would have had to do was call my lieutenant, say, hey, man, this deal's not working out at all like we thought it was going to, or like they said it was going to. I'd really like to come back and get my job back. They had a policy. If you did that within 12 months, all you had to do was go fill out the paperwork and sign your name. Basically, I could go on right back to work. And to this day, I can't even tell you how close I was to making that phone call. Because I looked at Blenda. After some of the stuff we faced in the short time we were there, and I said, if this is what ministry is all about, I don't want anything to do with it. But you know what? I didn't do that. I could have. Old habits die hard. But if I had taken that opportunity, if I had made that choice, it would have drastically changed and altered the course and direction of our lives. Why? Because we have a calling. We have a calling to preach the word. We have a calling to shepherd God's people, to share the gospel with the lost and hurting and broken. And if I had chosen to go back to my old way of life, it would have changed all that. Peter had a calling. 3 years prior to this, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That calling has not gone away. Peter's sitting here. He's out with his friends out on the boat. That calling hasn't changed. His circumstances have. Peter had a calling. You know what? Every one of us sitting in this building today, we have a calling. It may not be to preach, it might not be to teach, might not, but we all have a calling. We have a calling to follow Jesus wherever he takes us. Whatever that looks like. But going back to the old way of life can jeopardize that calling. So that's where we get to the whole, that's where we get to the spiritual level of all this then. What are the spiritual implications of Peter all of a sudden saying, I'm going fishing? I believe there's something deeper going on here. Something that goes beyond the surface. So let's think about some of the experiences that Peter had with Jesus and the spiritual implications. See, I think during this whole time, one of the things that drives Peter to make the decision that I'm going fishing is the fact that he feels like a spiritual fraud. What do I mean by that? That's kind of harsh. I'm not trying to be harsh. I think if we're actually going to be, if we're going to do what Christ wants us to do, we have to look deep inside of ourselves and maybe look deeper at beyond the surface of what's going on with Peter and realize that he had to go through some of these things before he could be restored. I think he felt like a spiritual fraud. Remember, it was Peter who told Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 33, he says, Lord, I'm willing to go to prison with you. I'll even die with you if that's what it takes. We know what happened with Peter, right? We're going to get to that in a few minutes. Well, when Peter says this, do we think that he's trying to mislead Jesus on purpose? Do we think he's trying to convince Jesus of something that's not real on purpose? No, I think when Peter said this, he meant it with all of his heart, at least in the level of understanding that he had. He didn't have this plan. He wasn't just trying to convince Jesus of something. I think Peter was being as honest with Jesus as he could be when he said it. But as is consistent with Peter's personality, he was also being naive and he was being impulsive. He said, I'm willing to go to prison or jail with you. I'll even die with you. But Jesus could see through that. And Jesus' response was this: before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, Peter, you're going to deny 3 times that you even know me. There's what we say and what we think we're going to be able to do, and then there's the reality of what Jesus knows about us. You see, I think Peter feels like a spiritual fraud because he failed to live up to the promise. He failed to live up to the pledge that he made to Jesus. And now, this is one of the memories that still haunts him spiritually when he says, I'm going fishing. It doesn't stop there, though. I think Peter's dealing with the fact that he feels like a spiritual weakling. Just a few hours later, Jesus has been arrested. Jesus is being tortured publicly. He's being beaten. He's being flogged. He's had a crown of thorns placed on him. He's being mocked and made fun of. He's being humiliated publicly. And Jesus' prediction about Peter comes through three different times during that night, just in a few hours after Jesus has been arrested and he's being persecuted and wrongly accused and a mock trial going on. Three different times, different people come to Peter and say, hey, didn't I see you with Jesus? Aren't you one of his followers? No, I'm not one of his followers. Second time, second person comes to him and say, I'm pretty sure I saw, aren't you one of his followers? Don't you belong? No, I'm not one of his followers. A third time, someone comes and identifies Peter and said, I know I saw you. No, I'm not one of his followers. And you know what his exact words were in one of those denials? I don't even know him. What did Peter say? What did Jesus tell Peter he would say? He said, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. And in one of Peter's denials, he says, I don't even know the man. And right after he makes that third denial, he hears the rooster crow in the distance. He remembers what he told Jesus. I'll even die with you if I have to. And then he remembers what Jesus told him. You'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. You see, I think right now Peter is feeling like a spiritual weakling. In his spiritual weakness, he was too weak to speak the truth. He was too weak to stand up for Jesus in his time of greatest need. And that weakness haunts Peter to this day when he decides he's going back to his old way of life. On top of all that, when you put that all together, Peter feels like a spiritual failure. Once again, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be honest. I can't help but think Peter would feel this way. Think back to that time Jesus was with his disciples in the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he's talking to the disciples, and he says, who do the people say that I am? Ooh, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah brought back to life. Some say that you're one of the other great prophets. I mean, they had all kinds of answers for him. Jesus waited a few moments till it got quiet, and he looked at him and says, but who do you say that I am? And of course, it's Peter. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think Jesus got excited for a moment. Someone's finally catching on. And after Peter made his confession about who Jesus was, Jesus said this, I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty high expectation. That's a big responsibility. And I think right now, in this scripture that we're looking at today, I think Peter's remembering that day. I think Peter's remembering when Jesus declared that he would be a major part of the foundation, the building block of the church. a church so strong that the gates of hell would not overcome it. And now Peter finds himself out in the fishing boat. And he realizes that he has failed. He's failed to live up to his potential. He's failed to live up to the expectation. He has failed to become what Jesus told him he had the potential to be. So where's Peter? He's sitting in a fishing boat with the rest of his friends, still not catching anything because old habits die hard. So we think about this from our perspective. What are the options? If we find ourselves, we find ourselves being confronted with the old ways. We find ourselves being tempted to go back to the old habits. We find those old habits sneaking back in. Maybe the old way of life is starting to resurface a little bit. What are our options? We have two that I want to talk about quickly. The first one is this. We can decide to settle. We can decide that we're going to settle for less. Less than what Jesus wanted us to be. Peter could have settled with the fact that he was a spiritual fraud, a spiritual weakling, and a spiritual failure. He could have decided that was good enough. He could have just said, that's all my life is ever going to be, and I'm okay with that. Because I've tried the other way. I've tried the new thing, and it didn't work out the way I thought, so I'm just going to be who I was before. We can settle for less than what Jesus wants for us. But you see, that means I'm okay. If I settle, that means I'm okay with not living up to my promise or my pledge to Jesus. If I settle, that means I'm okay with living in spiritual weakness and not having the strength and the courage to stand up for Jesus. If I decide to settle, that means I'm okay with being a failure and not living up to my potential. Not living up to what God wants us to be. Is that what we really want? To settle means I'm okay with just barely getting by. Being saved by the skin of my teeth, so to speak. Or we can take the second option and we can step up. We can move forward. And that's what Peter chose. Because later in John chapter 21, after they've been out there during the night, later in John chapter 21, Jesus appears once again on the beach. He's got a fire going. He's got his own fish over the fire because he knows they haven't caught anything, right? He calls out to him and says, hey, have you caught any fish? No. Not one. They still don't know who they're talking to yet. And all of a sudden, Jesus says something. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll catch some. Here we go again. They cast their net. The net becomes so full that the net starts tearing, and they can't hardly haul it in. And when that happened, somebody all of a sudden understands, hey, that's Jesus over there. And that was all it took. When Peter heard one of the other disciples say, it's the Lord, it's Jesus, he didn't care about the fish anymore. He left his partners to do all the work. It says he tucked his tunic and his robe under his belt, and he jumped in the water, and he headed for shore. that tells me? That tells me that deep down Peter has been anxious for this opportunity. He's been waiting for this moment because he's lived with the failure. He's lived with feeling like a fraud. He's lived with feeling like he's spiritually weak all this time, and he's tired of it. And he hears that it's Jesus, and he recognizes it's Jesus on the beach, and he's going to do whatever he has to do to get to Jesus. Nothing else mattered anymore. Think about it. He goes from, I'm going fishing, to having a net full of fish, so many fish that the net's breaking, and all of a sudden he doesn't care about that anymore because he knows Jesus is over there, and he's, I've got to go see him. He had unfinished business to take care of. He was tired. He was tired of living with the feeling of weakness and failure. But before he could move forward, he had to get past the past. Listen to me, please. It wasn't easy, okay? It wasn't easy for Peter. Jesus asked some tough questions. Actually, he only asked one question, but he asked it three times. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Notice he didn't use the name Peter. He didn't call him the rock. He called him by Simon. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He asked him a second time, Peter, Simon, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he asked him a third time, and it says, the scripture tells us that when Jesus asked the third time, Peter was hurt in his heart and in his spirit that Jesus would ask him three times. Three times of declaring your love versus three times denying you even know Jesus. Maybe there's just a little bit of correlation there. So, Lord, you know I love you. But it didn't stop with the question. Because once, every time Simon Peter answered the question, then Jesus gave him an assignment. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my sheep. Simon, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Be a shepherd to my sheep. See, Jesus doesn't want us just to declare our love for him. He wants us to demonstrate our love for him. And we demonstrate our love for him by taking care of one another. Finally, after that conversation, Jesus looks at him and he gives him an invitation. He says, follow me. Remember, that's how it all started 3 years before, right? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Here we are 3 years later. Jesus and Peter on the beach. And Jesus renews the call to follow me. His relationship has been restored. Why? Because Peter chose to move forward. Peter chose to step up instead of settling for something less. But in order for Peter to move forward, and in order for us to move forward, some old habits had to die. Some old habits had to be surrendered again and given to Jesus. Maybe someone here today feels like Peter. you're feeling spiritually weak. Maybe you feel like you've let Jesus down. Maybe we feel like we're not quite living up to our spiritual potential. Maybe some old habits have started sneaking back in. And you're feeling tempted to just go back to the way things were before. It seems so much easier sometimes. But it's not. It's not. We, like Peter, have options. We can choose to settle, or we can choose to step up and move forward. Can I encourage you today to do that? Can I challenge us today? Can I encourage us to choose to move forward instead of settling for less than what Jesus wants for us? Can I encourage us to do whatever it takes to get back to Jesus? To do whatever it takes to restore and revive our relationship with Him? Old habits die hard, but they do have to die in order to move forward. So please, don't settle for less. Don't settle for anything less than getting to the point where we hear the voice of Jesus once again say, "Follow me. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men." I want to ask you just, I'd just like for us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. Maybe this message, maybe the Spirit has used this message to stir something inside of you. Maybe we're realizing an area of our life where some old habits are starting to take control. And maybe we need to give those back to Jesus again. Maybe we need to surrender them again. Maybe we need to recommit them. But whatever is required, whatever has to be done, and it's different for each and every one of us, whatever needs to be done, in order for us to be in the closest relationship with Christ that we can possibly be, we need to make the choice to step up and do whatever it takes to come back to Jesus. So, Father, today, I ask you to search our heart. Lord, coming to you doesn't mean we've sinned. It doesn't necessarily mean we've even fallen away from you. It just means that there are some areas of our life that maybe have lacked attention, and we need to bring them back in. Submission to you, to rededicate and recommit some things in our life. Maybe there are some old habits and patterns that we need to give back to you. As Father, we don't want to risk the danger. We don't want to risk the consequences of just settling for life the way it was before and going back to who we were before we met you. So, Father, if there's someone here today who needs to be restored in their relationship, I pray that you would do the work, that you would call to them and help them hear your voice. Maybe there's someone today who's just discouraged and needs encouragement. Father, would you reassure them once again the that they are a child of God. Father, most of all, help us to listen for your voice and be obedient when you say, follow me. No matter where it takes us, no matter what new things it requires us to try, help us to follow you. We love you, we thank you, and we give you praise today. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Lord, go with us as we leave here. Go with us throughout the rest of this day and be with us through this week. Help us to live lives that bring glory and honor to you and show Jesus to someone along the way. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you. Thank you for being here today. We're dismissed.